Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Hayo. We are studying the end of the fourth pasuk. Vata'as behefetz kapeha. We spoke yesterday about the power of a person who does things with their ratzon. When actions begin with ratzon, it's an entirely different act. An entirely different person. A mother who in the morning, every day, brings her desire to be a mother and to do the job of a mother does a different job. And the same with a wife who brings her ratzon into the picture before her actions. And of course, the same with a husband. And the same with a father, and the same with a person learning, and the same with a person praying, and the same with every area of life. If you bring your ratzon to the table, if you bring your want to the table for what you're doing, before your actions take on a new level. That's the secret of the Eshet Hayo. Vata'as behefetz kapeha. Before kapeha, before her hands are working, her hefetz, her ratzon, is in motion. We have to make sure that we explain what it means to have ratzon. Because this could be easily manipulated by the person's mind. Our mind likes to manipulate us to think we are in one place and in reality we're in some other place. There is a very wide spread, a very big difference in the world of ratzon. Not all ratzon, not all that a person wants is equal. And one must know, there are many levels. Let's talk about today the opposite level, the opposite extreme, the lowest level of ratzon is a person who wishes for something. I wish that I would become a Talmid Chacham. Nice. I wish. Of course. You want to become a Talmid Chacham? I wish I was. I wish I can give a lot of money to charity. I wish to have a great marriage. Of course. Of course, I want to have a great marriage. I wish my children will become great. I wish to be happy. You tell a person, you know, you don't look sameach, you don't look happy. I wish I could be happy. I wish I could be patient. You know how many things people wish for? Now, they might explain to themselves that this is called ratzon. This is called what I want. So why is it not coming to fruition? The lowest level of ratzon is wishing. I wish to win the lottery. I wish to have all types of things. When do we realize that a person's ratzon is real? Meaning, it's higher level than a wish. It's when we see the person is putting in all the effort. Ratzon, without an effort, is a wish. And the stronger the effort, the greater the dedication to his ratzon, shows that his ratzon is real and authentic. A person in life wants many different things. One day he wants to finish Shas, the next day he wants to finish Mishnah Berurah, the next day he wants to do Chavot HaLevavot, the next day. A lot of wants. But there's not much effort going into it. Remember the words of Chachamim. Bederech she'adam rotze. Molichin oto. Bederech she'adam rotze melech ba. Rotze means you have to really want. Not a wish. There is a very nice idea in the Torah that relates to what we just said. Parashat Miketz. As you know, Yosef predicted, based on Parao's dream, that there will be years of plenty in Egypt, and then there will be years of famine. Surprisingly, the pasuk says, "Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim." When the famine hit Egypt, there was a great hunger in the land of Egypt. Now, there really shouldn't have been a great hunger in the land of Egypt. I mean, there could have been hunger, per se. There's no water, there's no food growing, that could be. But the people should not be hungry. They already had a heads up that they should gather during the years of plenty enough food in storage for the years of hunger. So how does the pasuk say, "Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim"? The people of Egypt are all hungry. Vayitzak ha'am el Parao lalaim, and the people came to scream to Parao, "They need bread." How did that happen? Says Rashi Alav HaShalom. You know how they went hungry? Even though they must have prepared based on Yosef's explanation of the dream and the interpretation. Says Rashi Shehirkiva Tevuatam She'atzru. Meaning, it didn't help them to gather. They had warehouses. Just imagine what it was like in Egypt during the years of plenty. People are buying warehouses full of grain that they're going to use for years to come. It's a hot commodity. Warehouses were going out of style so they could store all their merchandise, all the food. They're preparing, like Yosef said. Problem is, when the hunger came, any food that was gathered by the Egyptian that didn't come from Yosef's warehouse,
spoiled.
So they were stuck. They thought they had an advantage, a heads up, but in reality, all their work went for zero, nothing. So they came to Paro and they're screaming and they want bread. Now the question becomes, why are they coming to Paro? Already Paro has appointed publicly Yosef as the Shalit. He's the ruler of the land. Paro was just a figurehead. He had a chair, the king, but otherwise the running of Egypt was in the hands of Yosef. So why are they screaming to Paro for bread. He already told the Egyptians that you go to Yosef for anything, small or large. And Paro told the Egyptians, Lechu el Yosef. In fact, he had to tell them, make a U-turn, go back to Yosef. What are you coming to me for? Asher yomar lachem ta'asu. Whatever he says to you, you should do it. So this story has obviously something deeper going on, because they really shouldn't have went to Yosef to begin with. They should have went to Yosef to begin with. So comes Rashi Alav HaShalom to fill in the blanks over here. Rashi says, the Chachamim tell us that when they went to Yosef, they did go to Yosef. This story happened already post the visit with Yosef. When they saw that their food all rotted, they went to Yosef for food, like they're supposed to. But it didn't work out so well. Why? Because when they went to Yosef, Yosef told them, I will give you food on condition that you do a brit milah. Go do brit milah. Go have surgery. Come back to me. I'll give you all the food that you need. Every person that comes to them, to Yosef, he says, listen, brit milah, you get pick up your food. They went to Paro. They said, Paro, what are we doing here? You appointed this guy to lead Egypt. We're coming to him for food. He's making the most ridiculous demands that we should have surgery before we pick up our food. So Paro says to them, I don't understand you guys. Why are you even here? Didn't you gather during the years of plenty enough food for the coming years? Why even asking for food? He already told you that this is gonna happen. Amrulo, they said to Paro, Asafnu, of course we gathered.
Spoiled.
We gathered, warehouses full. The Hirkima. Everything except Yosef's food, the only warehouses in Egypt that had good food that didn't rot was Yosef's warehouses. All our warehouses are all rotten. Amar lahem, says Paro, do me a favor, don't mess with this guy. Imken, if this is the fact, you're telling me all the warehouses in Egypt spoil except his?
Yes.
Don't mess with him. Imken, call asher yomar lachem ta'asu. Whatever he says to do, he wants you to have surgery, have surgery. Don't come to me, don't bother me. This man, you don't mess with him. Hare gazar ala tevuah. Look what the decree that this man, he did on the grain that you have, the hirkiva, and it became all rotten. Ma im yigzor alenu venamut? What if tomorrow he's upset with you guys and he makes a decree we all die? This man, you gotta follow him. Whatever Yosef, lechu el Yosef, go back to Yosef. Asher yomar lachem tazu. That's the story with the Egyptians getting food from Yosef and Yosef demanding that they first get surgery, each person, and then he'll give them the food. It's a very nice story, at least to understand what's going on in the background. But it's a very troubling story that Yosef HaTzadik would take advantage of people who need food, basically. They'll do anything at this point. and he makes them have surgery. I mean, the Brit Milah is a covenant between our people and Hashem. A goy doesn't need to have a Brit Milah. There's no requirement for the Egyptians to have such a surgery. Why would Yosef give them such a painful decree just to give them the food for survival? Seems to be very unbefitting of the kind Yosef to do such a thing. I once saw a very beautiful explanation. There are a number of explanations, but one that's relevant to our subject can be explained with the following mashal. It was an epidemic. Maybe it's not a mashal, maybe it's a real story, but it's a mashal for us. It was a major epidemic where people who got sick from whatever was going around, they needed desperately a certain machine for breathing. And if they got the sickness and didn't get the machine, they would die. So they set up a gamah. Gamah is a place where they help people that need something. Is gamahs for all kinds of things. People have gamahs for chairs. If you need extra chairs because you have guests coming, you could borrow the chairs from them. They have gamahs for plates. They have gamahs for table covers. They have all kinds of gamahs. That people have certain needs. They don't store these things in their house. Whenever you need it, go take it. Take it and bring it back. So the main part of they have gamahs for all types of medical supplies. So one of the things they made sure that every place had, they had these machines that if people, God forbid, got sick, they go pick one up and they can bring themselves back to health. Fellow walks into one of these gamas and he sees the guy in the front. He says, "I'm here to pick up one of the machines." He says, "Sure." He says, "Go into the warehouse. There's the door. See if you can find one." It's a big warehouse full of merchandise, full of things. And the guy is looking, starts from the right, goes one by one, one by one. Can't find anything. He's there for 2 hours. Can't find the thing. Keeps looking. Can't find anything. There's nothing to do. Finally, after a long period of time in the warehouse looking for the machine he desperately needs, he gives up. There's nothing there. He goes again and again and again. Finally, he goes out to the front desk. He sees the same guy he saw before. He tells him, "You sent me to the warehouse. I didn't see anything. I'm looking for hours. There's nothing here." He says to him, "Hold on." He looks under his desk, takes out one of the machines, and says, "Here, take this one." Yeah. And the guy got a little upset. He said, "I don't understand. You made me look in the warehouse for hours, and you have a machine under your desk? So why'd you tell me to go inside for?" Say, "Tell me, you know, you're my good friend, I'll tell you the real. But don't share with people." He says, "You know, this machine is a very much needed machine by a lot of people who get sick. But you know, there are a lot of people who are already planning if they get sick. And everyone would love to get an insurance policy to get the machine in his house in case something happens. But we don't have enough machines to go around for everybody." So he says, "How am I going to know if the guy picking up the machine
really needs it, or he just wishes to have it. He says, I make him go to the warehouse. He says, if he's willing to spend hours in the warehouse looking for the machine, he needs the machine.
What?
That's the story. And this is Yosef. Yosef is giving out food. He's going to give them food to survive, because they need it. How's he going to know if the guy's coming for food that he needs to survive? Or maybe he's coming to buy some extras to sell in the black market.
In case.
Maybe he's picking up extras. So he says to him, go have a surgery. He wants to see if the guy is legit. If a guy is willing to have a surgery for the food, he needs the food. This was Yosef's way of seeing the guy's ratzon. Does he really want the food, or he just wants to have extra? Bottom line, you see from this story that the level of ratzon, the level of the want that you measure on a person, very often can be measured by how much they're willing to do to get it. If you're willing to have surgery, then you really want it. And the more you're willing to give up for what you want shows a real ratzon. We see this very clearly. There's probably no better source in Tanakh for this subject than a story that happened with a goy. The famous story of the daughter of Yaakov, Dinah. We have Shechem, the son of Hamor. He falls in love with Dinah. He wants to marry her. Of course, our family has no interest in marrying Shechem to be consuegro with Hamor and Shechem. So instead of telling him no, you know, sometimes in life, you tell a person who wants something from you no, it's a little
harsh.
Harsh. Comes off not so nice. So a better system is you say no in a different way. You say yes, but you make the conditions impossible to meet. So a guy wants to buy a house because he really needs a house. You have an extra house. You don't really live in it. He says to you, listen, I want to buy a house. You tell him, no, I'm not selling. But he needs the house. Maybe he's not going to appreciate that. So if the house is worth $2 million, you tell him, okay, no, of course I'll sell it. Of course. Give me $10 million, I'll sell it. Anyway, you tell the guy $10 million, so he didn't tell him no, but he told him no in other ways. So they did the same thing. They told this young man, Ach bezot, they told him, Lo nuchal la'asot ha'davar hazeh. So we can't make a shiduch with you. Can't marry you, because you're not circumcised. So simply, they should have told him, okay, so circumcise, and we'll make a shidu. But they didn't do that. Ach bezot ne'ot lachem. Im tiyu kamonu. If the entire city is going to have a brit milah, then we'll make a shidu. That's the equal of saying no. Go now. Try to convince all the people in your city to have a brit milah. It's impossible. You can't convince people to do the most simple things. Sometimes they try to convince people to do A or B. It's for their benefit. It's to help them, to help their family, to help their children. Here you're going to ask them to do a brit milah, and they have zero benefit. just so Shechem, the son of Hamor, should be able to marry Dina. What do they gain from that? Imagine, go now in Brooklyn, go tell people, I need you to have surgery for me tomorrow. Now, he's not just telling the peasants. It means every person. That means even the ministers, even the most important people in the city. He has to go convince them. He's talking about young and old. He's got to go to the 90-year-old. He's got to go to the most influential. Well, he's going to everybody. This is an impossible task. And I'm sure when they told him, they figured, okay, it's over. We didn't tell him no, but we told him no. Shockingly, the pasuk says, "Velo ehar hanar." Not the father. The father is the influential person, but the boy himself, the young man, he didn't delay. It says, "La asot adavar," to make it happen. He got every single person in that city to do a brit milah. Impossible to understand. How? So the pasuk says, "Ki hafetz bebat Yaakov." Here's that word again. Ki hafetz. He has a hafetz because he wanted to marry the daughter of Yaakov. He didn't just want. Hafetz means just want. Open over there. The Radak says, listen to the words of the Radak. He says, "Hafetz." Hu yoter sheyihye hefetz ratzon ha'adam v'chol magemat panav. He says the word hafetz in this pasuk means that this young man wanted so badly that only thing he wanted in life was this. He says ke'ilu haya met be'ahavata, meaning in his world, in his mind, there were two choices. Either you die or you marry her. There was no other thing, no other in-between, no other ratzon. Shelo hayalo ratzon aher ba'olam. He had no other desire in the world, ela ratzon ze bilvad. Such a hefet, such a ratzon, he figured it out. When this is what you want, this badly, he figured it out. How did he do it? Who knows? For some people, maybe he threatened them. For others, maybe he gave them a trip to the Caribbean. Maybe he bought a guy a car. Maybe he sent him nice shoes for the holiday. Who knows what he had to negotiate with each person to get him to do the surgery? You would say impossible, but there's nothing impossible if life or death is the option. And he went and he got it done. Ki hafetz bebat Yaakov. So when we measure our ratzon, it has to be a measurement of real ratzon. There is a wish, and then there is ratzon. And there's a lot in between. Very easy to say, I want. But to actually be that guy that really does what a person wants normally would do, you have to measure yourself with what you're willing to give up. Are you willing to have surgery for this? Really, you want good children? Nice. Are you willing to have surgery for it? Would you go under a knife right now to do it? You don't need surgery really for that, but you need other kinds of sacrifices. You want to be a happy person? Great. Are you willing to work very hard to get there? Most people that want to be happy, but they're not willing to work. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to do anything different. Yeah, of course I want to be happy. Okay, but are you willing to go under the knife? Are you willing to start making changes that might be difficult for you? I wish I could have this. I wish I could be that. Okay, great. It's only a wish. Until you're ready to say, I'm ready to have a surgery for it. I'm ready to take difficult steps. If you're not ready for that, you don't really want.
You know, Chachamim teaches a very powerful rule in this area of life. You know, Rosh Hashanah is coming.
And usually, this time of year, people assess themselves. That's what you're supposed to be doing. How am I doing? How am I doing as opposed to the year before? Did I get further this year? Am I on the high? Am I on the up and up? Am I rising? Am I climbing? Am I going down? The question is, how do you measure that? I mean, when you come to make this assessment, how do you measure it? Spiritually, I think most people would measure it by looking at their schedule. Look, I spend more hours learning. I'm definitely on the high. I started doing this. I stopped doing that. I think most of us would measure our assessment through our actions. Simple, logical. But the truth, if you learn the words of Chachamim, and you want to know if you're going up or you're stagnant or you're going down, really what you have to measure, if you're in touch with yourself, is you have to measure your ratzon. It may be you're doing more than you did last year, but could be your ratzon is down. Your want has not been as powerful as it was before. Last year, I really wanted something. Today, my ratzon is not as strong as it was. I may be doing more, but my ratzon isn't as strong for the holy endeavors and accomplishments that I had. Last year at this time, I was burning with ratzon to be able to learn. Today I'm learning more than last year. But my ratzon to learn more is not the same as it was before. It's very hard for a person to be in touch with that reality. But the real person, why do I say this is the proper assessment? How do I know that? Why don't you assess based on your actions? Because the real person is not his actions. The real person is his ratzon. Now, you ask me, how do I know that? How did I know that the real person, tell me what your ratzon is right now. Tell me you want to become this, you want to become that. Tell me what your ratzon, that's who you are. How did I know them? It's a very big hidush to tell a person, assess yourself not only by your actions, but make sure you study your ratzon. What is it that you want today? What are you looking forward to? Let's open up to Masechet Kiddushin. Daf Mem Tet Amud Bet, the Gemara says, very interesting halacha. A man goes over to a woman, a righteous woman. She's from the holiest of holy. He is from the Tameh of Tameh, from the lowest of the low. He's called the Rasha in our vocabulary. And he wants to marry her. Now, she's not interested in marrying a Rasha. He doesn't look like he's such a big tzaddik. So he wants to marry her. She's not interested. He tells her, don't worry. I'll make a condition. I'll marry you on condition. I know you're worried, maybe I'm a Rasha. So I'll marry you on a condition. I'll give you comfort. No worries. He tells her, Hare at mekudeshet li, like we hear by every wedding, usually, because she finished and married. But this lady is not ready for that. So he tells her, Hare at mekudeshet li almenat, on condition, she'ani tzadik. Not I will be a tzadik. She'ani, that I am a tzadik. So what's your problem? What are you worried about? I look like a rasha to you? Fine, if I'm a rasha, this is void. I'm marrying you on condition that I am a tzaddik. So nothing to worry about. She says, you know what? I hear that. I found my comfort. She says, okay. Says the Gemara, al menat she'ani tzaddik. If he married a woman on condition that he is a tzaddik, afilu rasha gamur, even if we know the guy is not only a rasha, he's a rasha gamur. Rasha gamur is complete. He's a complete rasha. Mekudeshet. She's married. What is going on here? How's she married? She did her research after, and she saw the guy's a rasha gamur. She's not worried. She's, don't worry. Told her father, don't worry. It's not a problem. Because there was a condition here that he only married me on condition he's a tzaddik, so it's good. They go to the rabbi, and they're like, no, I'm sorry. Mekudeshet, you're married. But the condition wasn't fulfilled. Says the Gemara, Sheme hirher teshuva bedato. Gemara says it's true. Up to the Kiddushin, he just ate a cheeseburger on Kippur, Motzai Kippur. They found him eating a cheeseburger on Kippur. It's true. And then 5 minutes later, when it got dark, he told her, Hare at mekudeshet li amenat she'ani tzadik. Tzadik, not a regular guy. He didn't say, I'm not a rasha. Tzadik. Says the Gemara, maybe hirher teshuva bedato. Maybe that while he's giving her the kiddushin, or a minute before, he already had thoughts of teshuva in his mind. Maybe. Let's say he did. Let's say he actually did make teshuva in his mind. In his mind. Remember, he just walked out of Burger King on Kippur. So let's say Be'emet, when he walked out, he said in his mind, I gotta make teshuva. Let's say. That makes him a tzaddik? He told her, I'm marrying you on condition that I am a tzaddik. Even if he thought to make teshuvah, how in the world does that make the kiddushin valid? It's very nice. He wants to make teshuvah. V'chazak baruch. So when he makes teshuvah, he'll be a tzaddik. That's how we think. When he makes teshuvah, he'll be a tzaddik. But as far as this marriage is concerned, it's void. And remember, he didn't say, I'll marry you on condition that I will be a tzaddik. But I am. So says Gemara, maybe he's a tzaddik. How is he a tzaddik? Because maybe in his mind, he already had thoughts of making teshuvah. Already makes him a tzaddik? That's what you see from this Gemara. How is this guy a tzaddik? If he didn't do one act yet, he didn't do one mitzvah yet, he didn't stay away from one avera yet. How is he a tzaddik? Answer is that a person is measured through his wants. A person is measured through his desire. If be'emet, if in truth, we don't know for sure, but if in truth, this guy in his mind made a full commitment, hefetz, that he will change his life, it's not that when he will change, he will change. At the point where he wants, he's already a changed man. In Shamayim, they look at him as a tzaddik for now. Again, you have to have hefetz.
It's not, oh, I wish to be a tzaddik. No, no, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy who really had a one.
This is a very big hidush. Because we measure things with actions. Of course, you need actions, like we said yesterday. Without actions, you're fake. But the real person is not the actions. It's the ratzon. It's your want. This guy is in Shamayim, the way they look at him, tzaddik. Just finished this cheeseburger 5 minutes ago. In Shamayim, tzaddik. And the guy who doesn't have ratzon like him is not even as great as him. Even though he maybe did better things in his life. Unbelievable thing.
We see this idea by Ruth. Ruth HaMoaviyah from Moab. We know that she was pushed away by Naomi, this great tzaddiket Naomi. She pushed her away from converting. She told her, I have nothing for you. What are you coming with me for? You're a princess. You have everything here. What do you want to be Jewish for? She pushed her away. And Ruth would not let go.
Step back.
Ruth had such a desire to live a life of emet on the highest level. She had such a desire to be part of Am Yisrael. She would not let go. She told her, El asher telechi elech, wherever you go, I go. Ba'asher talini alin, where you sleep, I sleep. Amech ami, your nation is my nation, ve'elohayich elohai, your God is my God. Ba'asher tamuti yamut, wherever you die, I die. Be'shamek kaber, I'll be buried with you. So the pasuk says that when Naomi saw how strong her desire was to be a Jewish woman, she stopped trying to convince her out of it. Listen to these words. Hear the words. Says the pasuk in Megillat Rut, "Vatelachna shetehem ad boana beth lachen," and they went, both of them, until they reached Bethlehem. They were coming from Moab to Eretz Israel. So how did they walk? Vatelachna shetehem. Now she's bothered. Hachamim are bothered. Hazal are bothered. What's Vatelachna shetehem? The subject is only about them. Vatelachna. You don't have to say shetehem. And they went. You don't have to say, and they both went. If I'm talking about two people, and I say, and they went, that's enough. What's, and they both went. What shetehin? Comes Rashi, alav shalom. Listen to these words. Amar Rabbi Avhu, bo ur'eh, come and see, kama havivim agerim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much Hashem appreciates someone who changes their life, in this case, a convert. Could be a Baal Teshuvah. Kevan shenatna data lehitgayer. Once she wanted to become a solid, God-fearing Jew, hishva ota hakatuv leNaomi. She became equal to Naomi at that moment. Naomi, with all her righteousness, with all her upbringing, with all her mitzvot, with all her chesed, with all of her Naomi, Ruth
caught up to her. When? When did Ruth catch up to Naomi? It's the first day. But Telachna Shetehim. Shetehim is coming to tell you, they were equal at that moment. You have a woman who's living a righteous life of how many years? 40, 50, 60 years. And someone who just came now that says, I want to be part of this. In God's eyes, same. Unbelievable. A person is measured with their ratzon. You want to know if you're going up this year, you're going down. You have to ask, what's your ratzon? Last year, you had the ratzon to learn Shas. You didn't learn anything, but you had the ratzon to learn Shas. And this year, Baruch Hashem, you started learning. But you lost your ratzon for Shas. Today, you're happy just to learn a few tapim. In the world of Emet, you went down. But wait, I learned more now. I learned less last year. I learned more now. Yeah, but now, your ratzon is less. A person is measured through their ratzon. It's unbelievable. It's who the person is. I'll just give you one. No, we'll continue tomorrow. Baruch Hashem. Amen.